Good morning, Bethlehem Church. I see some of your heads kind of nodding with that bumper right there. I like that. Kind of get us going this morning. Well, welcome whether you're watching us at our campuses or online. We're glad that you are here. We are wrapping up a series called Refocus. It's a look through Romans chapter 12. But before we do that, I want to remind you of something big. You've already heard this. So this is the final reminder. This coming week, we have brand new services across all of our campuses. In fact, at our 211 and Oconee campus, you have a brand new service at 8:15. Join the crowd, all right? 8:15, we've been doing an 8 o'clock service at 3:16, very successful. I know many people at both our 211 and Oconee have young kids. They're already up anyway, so make sure you just come and open up a seat at one of the other hours. That will allow us to serve and reach more people. Also, we've got a brand new service time and day starting on Thursday at 7 p.m. We're excited about this. February the 2nd, coming up this week, we are launching the first service of the weekend on Thursday, and we've heard a lot of good feedback about this. Again, we want to continue to reach more people, open up more seats. We believe that's what God has called us to do, to reach more people for Jesus. Amen? Amen? So we're excited about that. Make sure that you check one of those services out. But we are wrapping up a series called Refocus, and we've been looking through really one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture, memorized much of it when I was a kid, and that is Romans chapter 12. And if you look at the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans, you're going to see a deep theological dive. But when you get to Romans chapter 12, it's very practical. So if you're kind of like, I'm a practical person, like tell me what to do and I'll do it, that is Romans chapter 12. But here's the reality. Last week, Pastor Jason talked about, and it was a credible message. If you missed it, make sure that you go online. He talked about genuine love, loving others, which is not always easy to do. Okay, it's not always easy to love others. In fact, people say the same thing about you. You're not always easy to love either, okay, by the way. But he kind of ramps things up with what we're going to talk about today in verses 14 through 21. He talks about loving our enemies. And let me just say this. It's about to get real. I don't know if anybody's ever used that terminology before, okay? If you've got kids, you've used that terminology before. Because when you had your first child and you had 9 months of preparation and you've got the Pottery Barn nursery and you've researched all of the things, like you're ready in theory. But when those labor pains hit at 9 months and you're headed to the hospital, okay, you're thinking, man, it's about to get real. All right, we're moving from theory to practice. Or sports fans, like when your team is in the playoffs and you know, like it's do or die. All right, you know, like it's about to get real. Well, that's what Paul is doing with us. He's basically saying, hey, it's about to get real. And so we're going to read from Romans chapter 12, verse 14 through 21. And I want to invite you across all of our campuses, even you who are watching online, just to stand as we read God's word right here. So would you stand with me? And as you do that, let me go ahead and say this. You're not going to like what he has to say. Just going to tell you in advance. And here's why. I know that because I don't like it, all right? But it is God's word for us, and it matters, and it is living and active. So let's read this together. Here's what God's word says for us through the Apostle Paul. Verse 14, he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Very interesting statement there, okay? Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. Good. You can be seated. Amen? Here's why some of you are like, oh my goodness, here we go. All right? Here we go. Let me tell you, like, buckle up, because it's going to be a tough teaching. It's a tough teaching for me to preach this, okay? But here's why. Because nothing we just read is natural. Nothing we just read is like, no, that just comes natural to me, to love my enemies. When somebody hurts me, it's easy and natural for me to love them back. That's not natural. In fact, I would say this, if most of us had a principle that we lived our life by, kind of a moniker, if you would, if we were really, really honest, here's what it probably would be right here. Do unto others as they have done unto you. Am I wrong? Do unto others as they have done unto you. Like, this is what is natural. Treat others the way they treat you. All right? What goes around comes around. You get what you deserve. Like, that's natural. Like, if you hurt me, or you hurt somebody I love, you hurt my family, then I'm going to hurt you. That's what's natural for all of us in here. And I don't know about you, but some of my favorite movies are just good old revenge movies. Anybody? Just good old revenge movies. Somebody gets hurt, and then the rest of the movie, they just get revenge, okay? Vigilante justice. Like, those are the movies that I like. Someone attacks us, and we respond in like manner. But I would even say this. Oftentimes, it's not that we just give them what they deserve. We want to up the ante. So if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you worse. Like, that's the response you're going to get from me. And I get it. It's totally natural. I get it. Like, it makes sense, except for one problem. That's not the way Jesus responded to us. You see, Jesus didn't give us what we deserve. If he would have given us what we deserve, we would all have been in trouble. But he repaid evil with good. And here's the reality. When we were the most unlovable, when we were broken and we were selfish, Jesus honored us and loved us. And I'm going to come back to that word honor because it's such a big word. And one that is not used in our culture enough. Jesus, think about this, Jesus honored us and loved us. He served us. So what Jesus requires of us is not do unto others as they have done unto you. Here's what Jesus requires of us. Do unto others as I have done unto you. So in this series, we've given you a principle, we've given you a practice, and we've given you a picture. And if you got your notes, I want you to write a principle down. This is kind of going to be the umbrella for this teaching, if you would, okay? And here it is right here. We are called, as followers of Jesus, to love others, not as they have loved us, but as Christ has loved us. You see, this is the principle right here. We are called, as followers of Jesus, to love others, not as they have loved us, not as they have done unto us, but as Christ has done unto us, as Christ has loved us. You see, the response to others should not be through the lens of what they've done to us. It should be through the lens of what Jesus has done to us or for us. That is the lens and responsibility. See, Jesus is the standard. His response to our rebellion is the standard. And that is what Paul is practically saying to all of us. But I want to give you a little context here because this is important, the way Paul is writing this. Because the book of Romans, if you don't know this or not, you're about to, okay? The book of Romans is actually written to, anybody know? The Romans, all right? You guys are awake, you're sharp, you're ready to go. That's right. That's why we call it Romans. The book of Romans was actually written to the Romans, all right? Now, Rome was a very interesting society. It was kind of a hierarchy society. And so the hierarchy society would often lord over the lowly, if you would. And so everything was cool, you know, in Rome, as long as you kind of went with society. You didn't buck society. You didn't buck the government. You didn't go in the opposite direction. And so what would often happen is when people did, they would persecute those who didn't conform to Rome. Now, before there was the information superhighway, okay, we call it the World Wide Web, okay, that Al Gore invented, you know, wink, wink, right, before that. Before the information superhighway, there was another highway. And there was another system of roads that Rome created. In fact, there was a statement that says, and we've used this before, maybe, that all roads lead to Rome. Now, they had built a system of roads which led to a very cultural, rich society. many different religions, many different belief systems, many different types of people. But here's the reality. You had to be on the approved lists in order to practice your religion. If you weren't on the approved list, there was persecution. Well, guess what? Christianity was not on the approved list. And so what Paul is saying here when he talks about enemies, he's not talking about people who would, you know, write mean things on, you know, your social media feed. He's talking about people who were persecuting Christians, who would sometimes even torture and kill Christians. So when he's talking about enemies, he's talking about an enemy that was very much real. Yet he says to them, and it's very interesting, let's look at this. He says this in verse 14. He says, bless those who persecute you. So when you think about Rome and you think about the persecution that was taking place, this is the picture here. All right, their lives were on the line. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Now, when we see the word curse there, we tend to think of cussing, right? That's not what he's saying right here, okay? I know nobody at Bethlehem Church has ever cussed somebody out for somebody doing something unkindly. I know that's true, right? That's just not who you guys are. When somebody cuts you off, I know your first, you know, first response is to pray for people. Like, I know that. Like, that's just who you guys are, right? Because that's who I am. That's the first thing that I do. But he's actually not talking about, like, words here in the sense of, like, cussing them out, okay? It's important kind of to get that in our minds. But what he says here is he says we are called to bless them. Now, how do we do that? Like, how do we bless people that hurt us? How do we bless people who hurt people that we love? And Paul's going to get very practical here. And here's what he's saying. As we talk about refocusing our lives, he is saying to us here, you cannot do that focused on the offender. You can only do that focused on the one who has forgiven your offenses. And that's Jesus. That's what he did for us. Jesus responded in such a way that he calls for us to respond likewise, to do as he has done. That is the response. And Paul gets very practical here for us. He shows us and tells us what this should look like in our lives. So he doesn't just give us a principle, he actually gives us a practice. And again, it's not an easy practice. Nobody's going to raise their hand and say, hey, this is easy. But this is what he says we can do, not through our own nature, but through the new nature that Jesus has given to us. And I want to give you something. The practice that Paul gives us right here, and here it is. It's very simple. It's four words, but let me give it to you. You can write it down. Repay evil with good. Repay evil with good. Now again, I would rather this say, repay evil with evil. Repay evil with revenge. Repay evil with spite. But he says, repay evil with good. Why? Because that is the way Jesus responded to us. And listen, it's counterculture. It's not like our culture. That's the way Jesus responded. But listen, here's the reality. Jesus is always counterculture. What does it say in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? Do not conform to the patterns of this world. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. There is a current and there is a pattern to this world. And what I'm calling to you to do is to swim upstream, to go against the patterns of this world. You see, when Jesus came, he flipped everything upside down. He said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. If you want to gain your life, you have to lose your life. And so what Jesus is calling us to do is to live a life that was very counterculture. And look at verse 17. Look what it says here. He says, repay, he goes on, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Now, that word give thought is very interesting. Because in order to give something thought, you have to pause, right? Like, anybody wish they would have given thought before they spoke? Anybody? Oh, all the time, right? Like this morning. getting to church, like you're like, I wish I would have paused. I wish I would have given thought to what I was about to say. When my wife asked me, how do I look or how does this dress look? I wish I would have given thought. Like, I wish I would have paused, right? Just for a split second. That would have been helpful. But here's the reality. The reality is we often don't give thought. And when we don't give thought, we often have regret. We say things that we shouldn't say. We do things that we shouldn't have done. We regret it. And what Paul is saying here, hey, in order to act honorably, listen, you got to pause. Why do you have to pause? Because it's not natural. It's not natural. What's natural is to give a response worthy of the action that has been done to us. You have to pause, give thought, and then you have to, watch this, this is really big, you have to choose to act the way Jesus acted to you. You got to choose honor. And you're like, whoa, they don't deserve it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they deserve it or not. Last week, Pastor Jason read from verse 10 of chapter 12. And I want to go back to it because I think it's really, really important for what we're talking about today. And if you missed it, again, go back and watch. It was really, really good. But here's what verse 10 says. If we go up a little bit in the chapter, it says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Now, this is not our society, is it? I would suggest that in our society, we have become much better at cynicism than we have honor. We don't outdo in honor. We've become much better about cynicism. You see cynicism everywhere. You see it on your news feeds. You see it in public. You see it at the store. You see it on our social media feeds. You see cynicism everywhere. There's very little honor that's being shown. We have replaced honor with cynicism, and I think it's dangerous in our society because we're not good at honor. We're not good at honor, oftentimes. And Paul gets practical. He says, let me show you what it looks like to honor somebody. And he says this in verse 15. Look at this. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice. We're okay with that a little bit. Weep with those who weep. We're a little better at that. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Now here's the thing right here. This is what's interesting about this. In our society, we are better with weeping than we are rejoicing. When people are doing really, really well, all right, and they're winning in life, then we struggle rejoicing for them. And you want to know why? Here's why. Because we think if we rejoice in their rejoicing, then somehow that devalues us. Like when they're winning and we're not, when we rejoice, it somehow devalues us. We're better at weeping than when we are rejoicing. But if we're really, really honest, here's what we're really, really good at. Let me flip this upside down. This is the way many of us respond. We rejoice in their weeping and we weep in their rejoicing. That's our society. Am I wrong? We rejoice in their weeping and we weep in their rejoicing. That's a little bit more natural. That's a little bit more of our society. And listen, this is anti-gospel. This is not what God is calling us to do. But this is what's natural. I mean, let's just have a little fun, okay? All right, I'm laughing when I say this, but let's just have it fun. There are many of you who are not Georgia fans. You are not rooting for UGA to win the national championship. And here's why. You would rather rejoice in their weeping than you would rejoice in their rejoicing, okay? Like, how many of us have watched a team we dislike, and it could be somebody playing them that we care nothing about, but when they beat them, we're on our Twitter feeds, we're on our social media feeds going, I told you, how about that game? And you're like, we've got nothing at stake in it. We just want to rejoice in their weeping, right? That's what is natural to us. And the reason why is because I think we have replaced honor with cynicism. We're not good at honoring other people because, again, we think in order to honor and rejoice in their accomplishments, it somehow devalues us. And it's not what Paul is teaching us right here. Now, listen, I know you may push back on this and you may say, listen, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve my honor. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they responded to people that I love. And here's the thing, I get it. I do. I get it. It's the reason why this passage is so difficult to teach, because I get it. It's hard to honor people who have hurt you. It's hard to respond in that way. It's way easier to repay evil with evil. Except for one thing. Jesus repaid our evil with good. You know, there's a reason why the Friday before Easter is called Good Friday. Because evil was met with the goodness of Jesus on the cross. That's how he responded to us. And here's what Jesus says to us. You do not as they have done unto you, but focused on what I have done for you. I've forgiven you of your sins. When you were walking in evil, when you have walked away from a relationship, abandoned a relationship with your Creator, I honored you on the cross. You know what honor is? Honor is really, it's this characteristic of putting others ahead of yourself. And here's the thing about honor. Honor is not the same thing as respect. You see, you choose to honor. Honor is given, respect is earned. And I think sometimes we confuse those two things. Like we think, in order to honor somebody, I have to respect them. No. That is not the prerequisite for honor. The prerequisite for honor is not that they do something to deserve it. The prerequisite for honor is Jesus. And what Paul says here is honor others. You're like, well, they don't deserve it. Doesn't matter. I don't respect them. Doesn't matter. He says honor them. Why? Because that is the prerequisite. The prerequisite is to honor others because that's what Jesus did to us. And when we don't do this, it's hypocrisy. We are assuming and accepting the love of Jesus, but we're refusing to offer it to others. And it's hypocrisy. And honor, listen, honor is difficult, but it's what we are called to do. We choose to honor. Now, I want you to think about something real quick, just because I think this would be kind of fun. I want you to think of somebody just in your head across all of our campuses. Think of somebody in your head right now that if they were to walk into this room, okay? They were to walk into this room, you would immediately show them honor, okay? Just right now, I want you to get a name, get a face, okay? In your head right now, if they were to walk into this room right now, okay? You would stand up and you would show them honor, okay? Now be honest, how many of you, that's Kirby Smart? Just be honest, just raise your hand. Maybe Stetson Bennett, I don't know, okay? Maybe one of those two. Maybe it's somebody famous. Maybe it's a mentor. Maybe it's a past president or some official or some. But they were to walk into this room, you would immediately show them honor. Now, I want you to think about something. I think oftentimes the sad part is we would show more honor to someone we have never met, someone famous, than we do our own spouse or our own kids. You know, sometimes it's difficult to honor people who are closest to us. And so many times, listen, among our kids and among our family, among our spouse and among our friends, among our coworkers, we choose cynicism over honor. We would have more honor for somebody we've never met than we would that person closest to us. It's not what the gospel teaches. Paul says to act honorably, to honor others, to walk in honor. And here's the thing, again, it's backwards. I get it. It's backwards. But think about this. Isn't this the reason why Christianity flourished in the first place? You see, you go all the way back to what we talked about Rome. Rome was anti-gospel. They tortured Christians. They killed and abused Christians. They didn't allow Christianity. And yet, Rome became the epicenter of Christianity. In fact, I ran across this picture right here. I thought it was so powerful. Look at this. This is the Roman Colosseum right here, where Christians were once tortured, persecuted, and killed. And now in the center, guess what stands? A cross. You want to know why? Because the early Christians didn't repay evil with evil. They repaid evil with the goodness of Jesus. And Christianity flourished. But I want to leave you one last thing. You know, the reason why Paul is so committed to this is because he knows that we fight a battle. In fact, if you look at throughout his letters, especially in the book of Ephesians, you see this battle that you and I face every single day. It's a war. It's a battle with an unseen enemy. And he said, we have enemies. And he's saying that we're in a battle. And what he wants us to know is that there are really kind of two battle fronts that we fight on. Two battle fronts. And this is your notes. I think this is important. You see, there are two battle fronts that you and I fight on. Here's the first. It's the battle front that evil has been done to you. That's a battle front that we fight on. You see, every single person, listen, there is evil that has been done to you. There is evil in this world. Nobody would discount that. There are things that have been done to you. There is evil that has been done to you. And I'm not saying, listen, that you just forget it. I'm not saying that you just ignore it. That's not what Paul's saying here. But here's what Paul does know. This is why he says repay evil with good, because he knows that there's another battlefront that you and I are fighting on. It's this right here. It's the evil that can grow inside of you as a result of what has been done to you. You see, there is an evil that has been done to you, and then there is an evil that can grow inside of you because of the evil that has been done to you. And you cannot control, listen, all the evil that is done to you. You know what you can control? You can control the evil that it can grow inside of you. And that's the reason why Paul says repay evil with good. Repay evil with good. He even says this in verse 21. This is important. I don't want to miss this. Do not be overcome by evil. That word overcome may say conquered in your Bible. It's a military term. He says, do not be overcome. Do not be conquered. The assumption there is that you can be. You can lose. You can be overcome. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do you fight the battle inside of you from growing, the evil from growing inside of you? You overcome evil with good. And when you fight evil with evil, the evil grows inside of you. Jealousy grows inside of you. Bitterness grows inside of you. And Paul's saying, listen, you have to overcome it. How do you do that? By repaying evil with good. You're like, but you don't know what they've done to me. But here's what I do know. I know what Jesus has done for you. And so you and I have to refocus our lives on what Jesus has done for us on the cross and not the offense that has been done to us. That's how you and I repay evil with good. You know, kind of in closing, we live in a very, you know, cancel culture society. You know, and oftentimes, you know, when somebody offends us or somebody hurts us, you know what our natural tendency is? Sometimes it's not just to repay evil with evil by our words, but sometimes we do it with our actions. Sometimes here's how we respond. We remove our presence from them. We're like, well, I'm just never going to see them again. I'm just never going to talk to them again. It would just be better because of what they've done to me. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't ever want to speak or talk to them. And listen, there are times where we should do that. There are times where maybe the situation or the abuse can be harmful for us in a relationship. And we need to separate. We need to get out of it. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 18 is the reason why Paul says this. He says, if possible, because it doesn't always just depend on us, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. But there are times where we cannot do that. There are times where we have to walk away from a relationship. In fact, I ran into this quote from Timothy Keller. I thought it was so good. Maybe you're in one of those relationships and you're like, should I get out? Should I walk away? You know, it's abusive. It's a dangerous relationship. Here's what Timothy Keller says. He says, enemies or abusers may be so dangerous that to have anything to do with them is to invite them to sin. In that case, the good, we talk about good, the good you can do them is to stay away from them. So there are times that we should walk away from relationships. But listen, can I be honest? There are times that we just choose to walk away because we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to make amends. We're still living in our bitterness. We're still living in what has been done to us, the hurt, the pain. And here's all I would say to you. The worst thing God could do is to remove his presence. Read Revelation. It's not good. The worst thing that God could do is remove his presence. And I think it's so anti-gospel to say, you have hurt me, therefore I'm going to remove my presence from you. And you're not going to get to have a relationship with me anymore. That's not what Jesus did to us. He loved us. He came for us. He rescued us. He did not remove his presence from us. Could he have? Absolutely. Did we deserve it? 100%. But he didn't. He pursued us. So what does Jesus say? He says, love as I have loved you. You do unto others as I have done unto you. And when they hurt you, you repay evil with good. That's what followers of Christ should do. Repay evil with good. But then finally, I want to leave you with a picture. And it's actually a literal picture. You know, this past week, Pastor Jeremy at our Coney campus and I went to Africa. It was an amazing trip. We're going to share all about it coming up soon, working as part of with some partners as part of Give Hope and what we're going to do this year in Africa. It's just an unbelievable gospel opportunity. But we were actually in Zimbabwe, Africa, and we were in kind of the rural bush, if you would. And we were at one of these schools that, I mean, it was out in the middle of nowhere. And there, I captured a bunch of pictures, but I captured one that's my absolute favorite. And so the picture that I want to leave you with in this series is this picture right here of this little girl. Now, how powerful is that? I'll be honest, man, that's like one of the cutest little girls I've ever seen. Wouldn't you agree? Ever. Like, be honest, you don't have to look at this picture and go, like, I don't know if I love her. Man, you got love in your heart just seeing this picture for her. Just seeing how cute she is. I don't have to convince you to love her. In fact, Pastor Jeremy loved her so much, he tried to take her home, all right? But he has, like, 15 kids, so he thought Jasmine would probably be like, you know, that's too many. But I saw this little girl, man, just had love in my heart for her. I don't know her name. But I love her. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Here's what should change our lives. I want you to think of the person that has hurt you. I want you to think of that person that you would label an enemy. I want you to get them in your mind right now. Now, here's the powerful picture of the gospel. Jesus loves that person as much as he loves this little girl. You see, Jesus was willing to come after us, to rescue us, to do whatever it takes for us to have a relationship with him, to repay evil with good. And this is what I want to leave you with. That's why, here's what love is. Here it is. This is my definition for love. Love is doing whatever it takes to give people whatever they need. To do whatever it takes to give people whatever they need. Why? Because that's what Jesus did for us. Do not be overcome. Do not be conquered by evil, but overcome evil with good. Can I pray with you? Across all of our campuses, campus pastor is going to come up. So, Heavenly Father, God, you have spoken to us because your word is living and active. And God, you are calling us to love people who are, quite frankly, unlovable. But Lord, I pray that today would be a reminder that so are we. So are we. We are unlovable, but you loved us. And Lord, I pray that Bethlehem Church would be a church that's different. That we would be a church that responds differently. That we would overcome evil in our communities, in our world, with the goodness of Jesus. And we pray all these things in his name. And everybody said, amen. Would you stand?